In April of 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating the graves of her two sons who died representing their beloved Southland, a grieving elderly woman walked to two mounds of dirt that were at the very corner of the cemetery and placed a flower on each of those graves. Her friends shouted, "What are you doing? Those are the graves of Union soldiers." And she responded, "I know. But I also know that somewhere up north, there is a mother or there is a wife that is grieving them just like we grieve our own." This loving deed set in motion our celebration, which eventually became known as Memorial Day. We honor the war dead once a year, but in reality, we honor them every single day of the year because we recognize that the freedoms that we have, the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation, were bought by their sacrifice. Those thousands who sacrificed their lives did not give their lives in vain. Because of their sacrifices, we have freedom today. We have the right to be here assembled this morning. We have the right to worship and honor our Savior and to preach the gospel. We have the right to sing praises. As I think of Memorial Day, I am reminded that there is someone else who gave his life. There is one who gave his life not just so that we could experience freedom here in our country, freedom here in this life, but one who gave his life that we may experience and may have eternal life. Over 2,000 years ago, a memorial ceremony was established and passed down to us to help us remember this great sacrifice, to make sure that we never forget. Memorial Day exists so that we never forget, so that we always remember that their sacrifice was not in vain. And this memorial that we were given 2,000 years ago is also meant to help us to never forget the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that memorial is the Lord's Supper. It is communion. And so this morning I would like us to take time to remember. To remember those who gave their lives that we may have freedom as a nation, and to remember the one who gave his life that we may spend heaven in eternity in heaven. So please stand with me and follow along as your Bibles, in your Bibles, as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 34. "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and the other is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this weekend in which we can remember those who gave it all for our freedom. Thank you that as a nation, we have set a day aside to do that. And Lord, I pray that tomorrow as we spend time with family, as we enjoy a day off work and maybe enjoy a meal or a picnic or whatever it is that we have planned, Lord, that we would stop to remember. That we would truly remember those who gave their lives for our freedom, for our nation. And in the same way, Lord, as we look at this passage of this memorial that you have left us, it is so easy for us to forget. It is so easy for us to take this lightly and to not truly honor what it represents and what it's meant, just like the Corinthian church did. So I pray, Lord, that this morning that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word, that we would have a better understanding of this memorial that you've given us, and that unlike the church in Corinth, we would take this message to heart and that we would truly be able to honor you through this memorial. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage, we're going to be looking at four main points about communion. The first one is that communion is a solemn memorial. The second is that communion is a symbolic memorial. Third, communion is a sacred memorial. And fourth, communion is a serious memorial. So let's look at the first one. Communion is a solemn memorial. I'm going to read verses 17 through 22 again. "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." Communion is a solemn memorial because, first and foremost, it is a time of unity. Communion is meant to be a time of unity. The Lord's Supper or communion is to be a time where we as a body of Christ come together to remember that which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. We are to come together in a spirit of unity, in a spirit of honor and remembrance of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. It's important to note, however, that it is not only at communion time that we should do this. This should be an attitude that we as the body, we as a church, should have every time that we gather together. That spirit of unity, that spirit of recognition, of honoring and remembering the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why the early church began to meet on the first day of the week, on Sunday, in order to every week honor and remember not only the death of Jesus Christ, but His resurrection, to remember that we serve a risen Savior. Jesus prayed to the Father that His children would be one, just as He and the Father are one. And His desire is that we too would be united. Where do we see that? In John 17, verses 20 through 21, it says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word." That's us. That they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me." See, it is through our unity as a body, it is through our unity as a church, as the body of Christ, that the outside world knows who God is. Our lives are the open book, are the Bible, the only Bible that some people will ever read. And so Jesus says, "I pray, Father, that through their unity, just as we are united, that the outside world may believe that I am who I am." This unity is to be a public testimony of God's power in the lives of His children. This unity in the body of Christ is to be what draws those on the outside in. It should make them want to experience what we have. Paul recognized that there was great division in the church in Corinth, that this was not happening, that there was not unity. They were still going through the ritual. Bringing it back to Memorial Day, there's a lot of people that enjoy the day off. They throw a picnic. They do lots of fun activities with friends and family. But they're not truly remembering. And this is exactly what was happening in the church in Corinth. People were fighting, people were quarreling, and everyone was thinking only of themselves. For this reason, Paul tells the Corinthian believers that he has no praise for them. Can you imagine receiving that kind of letter? As a church, I have no praise for you. And that celebrating communion under these circumstances was causing more harm than good. He's basically telling them, if this is what communion's going to be, don't even bother with it. Go eat in your home. Stop it. We see that it is in these verses that it is a time of serious reflection. It's a solemn memorial because it's not only meant to be a time where we come together in unity, but it is also a time for solemn reflection. The Corinthian Christians had turned what was meant to be a time of deep spiritual reflection into a gluttonous, drunken party. See, having big drunken feasts was a common practice of those who worshiped pagan gods. And many of the believers in the Corinthian church, early in their lives, before they came to Christ, they were part of that. See, a lot of the pagan god, the temples for the pagan gods actually had vomitoriums where people could go down, vomit, and go back and continue eating and drinking. And so some of these believers had carried these pagan practices into communion. They had turned it into the same thing that the pagan worshipers of pagan gods were doing. And that's what they had turned communion into. They had turned communion into the likeness of these pagan rituals. They were showing little regard for the meaning and the purpose of this solemn ceremony of remembrance. And so the Apostle Paul confronts them. He confronts them because communion is meant to be a solemn memorial. He also confronts them because communion is a symbolic memorial. Let's see that in verses 23 through 25. Verses 23 through 25. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." See, the bread represents the broken body of Christ. The Corinthian church had lost the symbolism. It had just become, as I said previously, a drunken feast, a gluttonous party. And so the Apostle Paul reminds them of the symbolic nature of this ceremony that the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave us. Jesus first introduced this symbolism to his disciples when they gathered in the upper room for their Passover meal. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Why did Jesus want his disciples to remember his body? Why should we remember Jesus' body? What is the significance of his body? Well, the significance is that it was upon his body that Jesus bore our sins. He took your sins. He took my sins. Those past, those present, and those future, and he took them upon his own body. As children of God, we are free from our sins because Jesus took each one of them upon his own body. That's why remembering his body is important. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, He who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. When we partake of the Lord's Supper and we eat of this bread, it is a vivid reminder of the fact that Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, he took on every single one of our sins onto his body. He voluntarily took all of our filth, all of our wretchedness, and he placed it upon his own perfect body. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." We are to remember Jesus' body that was broken for us, because it was upon that body that our sins were laid. So the bread represents the body. The cup represents Christ's shed blood. At the Passover meal, Jesus also introduced the cup as a symbol of his blood, which was a fulfillment of God's covenant with his people to provide a sacrifice, to provide a sacrificial lamb that would wash away the sins with his own blood. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 through 28, I know in your sheets I have verses 25 through 30 for the whole context, but I will read verses 27 and 28. It says, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" So we saw why it's important for us to remember his body. Why is it important for us as believers, as those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone for salvation, why is it important for us to remember his blood? It was only through the shedding of Jesus' blood that our sins could be forgiven. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." In shedding his blood, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. Through the shedding of blood, Jesus paid the price for our sins once and for all. Hebrews 10:12 says, "By this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." I know there are some traditions that believe that when they take communion, that Jesus is being sacrificed over and over again. But here in Hebrews, it says it was one sacrifice, one time, and it is good forever. That's why we remember his blood. That's why remembering the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, that washed away our sins, is significant. Because Jesus shed his blood, there is nothing left for us to do other than to, in faith, accept the gift. So communion is a solemn memorial. Communion is a symbolic memorial. And we see in verse 26 that communion is a sacred memorial. It's a sacred memorial. Follow with me as I read verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." It's a sacred memorial, first and foremost, even though it isn't found right here in verse 26. It's found in the previous verses. But it's a sacred memorial because it was instituted by Christ himself. This is not man-made. It's not a human-inspired ritual. As we saw in the passages in Luke and in Matthew, this was not a man-made ritual. This was not something instituted by religion. This was passed down by Jesus Christ himself. Paul isn't making this up. This isn't something that Paul created. Paul is simply reminding the Corinthian church that they have abused of that which Jesus instituted. And he's pointing out the things that they are doing and why he is not pleased and why he is condemning their actions, but reminding them this was instituted by Christ. Religion has a lot of rituals that are man-made. And often these rituals hinder true fellowship and hinder a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But this morning, we are not talking about religion. We are not talking about a ritual that was created by any religious group or any religious leader. We are talking about something that was instituted by Christ Himself. We are talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and a memorial that He instituted and He commanded us to do until He returns. And since He has not returned yet, we continue to celebrate. So I want to encourage you with something. Be careful not to lump communion in with the many man-made rituals that are out there. Communion isn't just another ritual. There are many religious rituals that don't come from Scripture. Communion not only comes from Scripture, it comes from the very mouth of God, God incarnate. He's the one that instituted. He is the one that has instructed us to do it. But in verse 26, we see that communion is to be a public witness of Christ's sacrifice. Let's read verse 26 again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. According to verse 26, communion is not only supposed to help us as believers remember Christ's sacrifice, but it also intended to be a witness to others of His sacrifice. With celebrating this memorial, we are proclaiming Christ's death to the world around us. And we are to continue to do this until He returns. So it's a reminder to us when we as a church gather together in unity to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to celebrate communion, it should be a reminder and an encouragement to us, and it should energize us to walk out those doors and proclaim to the outside world that Christ died for their sins and that He rose again. Because communion isn't meant just for us. Communion is also meant to be a testimony for them. So it's important for us as the body of Christ to recognize that communion instituted by Christ, as explained by the Apostle Paul, is also connected with evangelism. What are we doing for the gospel of Christ? So communion is a solemn memorial. Communion is a symbolic memorial. Communion is a sacred memorial. And finally, we will see that communion is a serious memorial. Verses 27 through 34. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. Paul gives a very strong warning here, and that is that dishonoring it, communion, brings great consequences. Because of the important message and the symbolism of communion, God takes this memorial very seriously. The Corinthian church was not taking this memorial seriously, and therefore the Apostle Paul confronts them very harshly. Paul warns the Corinthian Christians of the serious consequences of taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, because many were taking communion with unconfessed sins in their lives. They had turned it into a riotous feast of gluttony. And there was great division among them as believers. And Paul tells them that because of their flippant attitude towards communion, many were weak, many were sick, and some had died. Therefore, Paul tells them, spiritual preparation is required. We cannot come to the Lord's table. We cannot come to communion and partake of the bread that represents the body of Christ and the cup that represents the blood of Christ without preparing our hearts first. We need to first make sure that we are truly saved, that we have trusted Christ as our Savior, because communion is intended for the body of Christ. It is intended for born-again believers. So this morning, I urge you to first and foremost prepare your heart and be honest with yourself and honest with God. Have you truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the first step. Second, we need to examine ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there is any unconfessed sin in our hearts and in our lives that we have not dealt with. Begin that preparation before you come to the communion service. Now, I know many of you, because this isn't the first Sunday of the month where we normally partake, maybe did not know that we were having communion this morning, but normally you know. Don't wait till you come to the service to begin to prepare your hearts. Begin to prepare your heart before you even come. But we also give you time, as the elements are being spread out, to go silently before God and to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if there is anything in your life that you need to confess, anything that you need to deal with. Prepare your heart. Don't be like the Corinthian Christians that simply came to the Lord's table flippantly. This is serious. This is a solemn memorial. It's a symbolic memorial. It's a sacred memorial. But it is a serious memorial that carries serious consequences if we disrespect it. After we examine ourselves and confess those sins that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, we are invited to partake as a body in unity. This is a time that is supposed to unite us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a time that we are to come together to celebrate and to remember together the loving sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. As I conclude my message, I want to quickly turn back to Memorial Day. Memorial Day is also a solemn memorial, one that we should not take lightly. Let us remember with great reverence and gratitude the sacrifice of those who gave their lives that we may be free. Though this is not the first Sunday of the month, as I already mentioned, we have moved communion to this morning in order to celebrate together this solemn, symbolic, sacred, and serious memorial with the words of the Apostle Paul that we have just looked at in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, fresh on our minds. As we prepare the table for communion, will you please take the following minutes to begin to prepare your hearts as we come together in unity as a body to participate in this solemn, symbolic, sacred, and serious memorial. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for what you are doing in this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for the love that we have for one another, for the unity that we have as a congregation and as members of your body. And Lord, as we prepare to come to your table, May we remember. May we take this, the symbolism of this memorial, seriously. May we fully recognize the significance of your body, which took on our sins, that was broken and bruised for us. May we truly remember and appreciate your blood that was shed on our behalf, for your sin that washed away our sins. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who has not trusted you as Savior, who has not placed their faith in you and in you alone for salvation, that this morning, as they reflect, as they think on these words that have just been spoken, as they think of this passage that the Apostle Paul wrote, that your Holy Spirit would lead them to the conviction of placing their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.